What's up, guys? It's Gray Haas, and you have no idea how much it helps us when people like Gary, Amanda A., David A.S., and someone called Big Easy Blasphemy, great handle, by the way, join the Patreon. Our goal is to try to get to 500 supporters over there, which frees us up to do more things like live shows, live streams, and bonus content. You can even do a free trial. So please, please help us reach our goal of 500 supporters. For the price of a cup of coffee per month, you can help Mega keep going. Head to patreon.com/megathepodcast or check the link in the show notes. And thanks. Hey friends, you've probably heard me mention ButcherBox on here before, but if you haven't tried it, I gotta wonder, maybe you just hate deals? ButcherBox is high-quality meat and seafood you can trust, delivered right to your doorstep. It takes the guesswork out of shopping, and it is a godsend when it comes to saving me money and time. And here's the thing. If you're going to be cooking meat or seafood, just give it a try for a month and see if you like it. It feels decadent to have a freezer stocked with your favorite ingredients, and truly, who else is offering you free protein for a year? That's manna from heaven. What even is manna, by the way? Anyway, today, ButcherBox is giving Mega listeners free ground beef for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order. Use my link, butcherbox.com/mega, and use code MEGA to get free ground beef for life, plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com/mega, and use the code MEGA.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Mega is an improvised satire from the staff of a fictional megachurch.
We are here. Lord, we are here. And we're ready.
Ready
to podcast.
Hiya, I'm Hallie Labonte, and this is Mega, coming to you from Twin Hills Community Church, where every single week we give our mega church a tiny family feel. Each week we introduce you to members of our church staff, people from our community. Ooh, you're going to be so blessed by them. We have a great guest today. It is a treat and it is a treasure. Well, per usual, I'm joined by my co-host. He's the youth pastor for our high school ministry called Climax. Please welcome Gray Haas.
Savage and sanctified Hallie, how are you?
Awesome. I am so blessed. How are you doing? What's going on with you, Gray?
Huge news, Hallie.
What?
This is all about my personal life, but I am dating again.
Oh my gosh, you're not too busy?
Yes, I'm not too busy for this one, I am telling you.
Well, after Minga and, you know, whatever happened with that shark, and after you got dumped by Buca de Beppo.
Becky de Beppo.
Well, who's the new gal?
Hallie. Her name is Jen Hatmaker.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
I love Jen Haymaker. She's got a podcast. Hatmaker. She's an author. She did Your Big Family Reno on HGTV.
I know. It is really, really exciting. I kind of can't believe it myself.
I do have to be honest. I was so sad about her divorce.
Well, yeah, we all were. And you know what? I talked to her about that right on the first date, and I confronted her about it and how I didn't love that. But, you know, then she showed me how many Instagram followers she had, and I got distracted. I forgot to bring it up.
A lot, huh?
Yeah, totally.
Oh, this is thrilling. And, you know, is she a little bit older than you, or quite a bit older?
Yeah, she is. Yeah, she's 47. But
ooh.
Hallie, you know, she looks like Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman. She's got personality, which is something I don't usually look for in a lady, but it's been really fun.
Awesome. So what did you do on your first day?
Well, she flew me first class to see Wicked on Broadway. And let me tell you, Broadway is back. I'm so happy about that, even though I never really cared before. And then we went to a hat making class and each made each other a special hat for the occasion, just to commemorate it before we flew back.
Oh, is that the one that you're wearing right there?
Yeah, isn't it fun? Kind of a big feather and stuff.
It's
yeah.
Big.
I know. It's a hat maker original.
It's a lot.
I know. I might sell it on eBay. Anyway, Hallie, how was your weekend?
Oh man, I had an awesome conversation with my son, Day, about Jesus.
Really?
It was so cool.
I can't believe he's interested in that conversation.
Yeah, I really did bust my socks off. My son, Day, he was telling me about all these different teachers that have influenced world religions, and he was saying that they're all disruptors. You know, that to influence big groups, you really got to have to set yourself apart as a disruptor, and you got to have your thing, you know? And he said Jesus was a disruptor. And I said, oh, I like that.
Oh,
you know, I like
anything. I say that to my kids
Jesus.
All the time. I say Jesus was the first influencer.
Oh, that's so cool.
And they love that.
Any hoodles, it's because Day got some Audible book about the different teachers that have founded world religions. Do you know about all that stuff?
No, I don't.
It made me feel kind of threatened. Like, Day, what do you need to know about Judaism or Islam? You know, it's probably best if we just avert our eyes. You know what I mean?
Yes, totally.
You know, like you do when somebody trips or when someone's in a bathing suit.
You just need to know enough to know that they're not the ones.
But Day wants to know all this stuff. And I says, you know what, Day? I'm so confident in Jesus that I'm not worried about you being curious about all these other made up false religions and stuff. So I asked him about it, and I can't remember all of what he was saying, but he was telling me, you know, Mom, well, like there's Buddha. He wanted folks to disrupt their metaphysics. And I said, gazam tight. And he said Krishna's thing was that he told folks not to trust institutions and give up their identities. And I was like, how's that supposed to help anybody? And I go, so Day, what would you say was Jesus' thing? Like, how would you describe Jesus? And Day goes, oh, forgiveness and compassion.
Okay.
And I was like, that is so awesome.
Yes, good.
And it just makes it clear why our religion is right and the other ones are all wrong. And we've got the best one. And we disrupt with forgiveness and compassion.
Yes, I'm just so glad he's picking up what, you know, Jesus was laying down.
You're really teaching him, Gray.
You know,
what Day said was, he goes, well, Ma, Jesus was trying to teach us, but honestly, the people who listened to Jesus when he was talking about it, they just couldn't get on board with him. And I said, oh no. And Day explained to me that as humankind was sort of transitioning from being a tribal species to being a, I don't know, organized industrial organization, you know, that like civilization, unlike tribal life, has to be about getting along with each other. So Jesus' thing was that he was like, okay, let's not be bad to each other. Let's not be suspicious of each other. Let's love each other. Let's find ways to get along and live in a society with grace and, you know, forgiveness and compassion.
Whatever it takes, Hallie, honestly, at this point, if he said, I need a personal pan pizza to get on board with Jesus, I'll buy it for him. So, I mean, just whatever he needs to hear.
Oh, that sounds so good. And I says, Day, I don't understand why everybody wouldn't get on board with that immediately. I mean, you're basically describing the Republican Party right now when you're talking about Jesus' highest values, coming together, getting along, forgiveness and compassion and understanding and helping each other. But Day goes, no, Mom, the only time Jesus really described his true feelings was the very first time he spoke. He comes out onto the scene and he gives a lecture called the Sermon on the Mount.
Right, one of the best, a banger.
And, you know, and he opens up with, you know, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Also sounds like the Republican Party.
Exactly. But I guess Jesus was saying that people were sort of getting off on the wrong foot, you know, in terms of us living in a civilization. They were emulating wealth and fame. And Jesus was like, no, that's the opposite of what you should be doing. It's actually the losers.
Losers?
The losers are the people we should be like. They're the ones who have the truth. And Jesus was saying, be like them. You know, don't try to numb your strange feelings of sadness and all that, you know, but like allow yourself to go through the dark night of the soul and you'll learn that that is the kingdom of heaven. And the kingdom of heaven is yours now. And evidently, everybody who listened to his message about becoming poor in spirit, you know, they just didn't believe him, or they listened to him but didn't hear it. So pretty quickly after the Sermon on the Mount, evidently Jesus stopped telling people what he believed and what he knew, and he only spoke in parables after that. It's like he sent out a test balloon for Christianity. It didn't fly, and he realized, well, this doesn't work. They don't hear me at all, so I'm just going to start telling them stories from now on. Isn't that neat?
Hey, Hallie, look, sorry, I wasn't paying attention for a second. Look on Jen's Instagram. Do you like these highlights she just got in her hair?
Ooh,
isn't
that
nice?
Good.
Yeah, she looks so good. She's so cute.
Gray, I think you got a crush.
I know, I do. I think this one is really going to work out well.
Because I really value truth, misinformation really, really scares me. And that's why I'm excited to tell you about Conspirituality, a podcast that dismantles New Age cults, wellness grifters, and conspiracy mad yogis. At their best, they attack public health efforts in times of crisis, and at their worst, it's like they're recruiting for the fever dream of QAnon. On Conspirituality, you will have a journalist, a cult researcher, and a philosophical skeptic all discussing stories and cult dynamics and helping educate us and using proven science as their guiding light. I really recommend the Jordan Klepper episode talking about creating comedy in the MAGAverse. Jordan's incredible. And I also really love the Medical Medium episode. It's really good, and not just because I've had my own weird experiences with mediums. From exploring cults to analyzing our cultural and political landscape, the Conspirituality Podcast will help you stay informed against misinformation and resist fear tactics. Find Conspirituality on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Because I really value truth, misinformation really, really scares me. And that's why I'm excited to tell you about Conspirituality, a podcast that dismantles New Age cults, wellness grifters, and conspiracy mad yogis. At their best, they attack public health efforts in times of crisis, and at their worst, it's like they're recruiting for the fever dream of QAnon. On Conspirituality, you will have a journalist, a cult researcher, and a philosophical skeptic all discussing stories and cult dynamics and helping educate us and using proven science as their guiding light. I really recommend the Jordan Klepper episode talking about creating comedy in the MAGAverse. Jordan's incredible. And I also really love the Medical Medium episode. It's really good, and not just because I've had my own weird experiences with mediums. From exploring cults to analyzing our cultural and political landscape, the Conspirituality Podcast will help you stay informed against misinformation and resist fear tactics. Find Conspirituality on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, the comedy podcast, you get a belly full of laughs and a head full of real information. Our gallimaufry of expert guests answer questions on stuff adults need to know. I have mold in my dwelling. What do I do? What's gerrymandering? What happens chemically when I fall in love? How do I handle a parent-teacher conference? What are microbes? Listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. Solve problems, get laughs.
Hey, listener, it's Zach Harper, Amin El-Hassan, and Anthony Mays of Cinephobe. You may be asking yourself, what is Cinephobe? Amin, would you like to fill in the people?
Cinephobe is the podcast where Zach and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain.
All trying to ascertain?
Yes.
Okay.
Ascertain.
Whether or not they're accurately poorly rated, or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. Cinephobe, produced by this guy, Anthony Mays.
Hey, that's me. I produced this show. I also watch the movies, even though that wasn't included in the description, and I also ascertain. This month is...
Whoa!
Oh, Maze, why do you say that? Supercharge it. So that this promo can remain evergreen.
I feel like explaining a little bit more.
In 60 seconds?
I don't know. Maybe I don't bring attention to it. Assuring people like, look, if you listen, you're going to get it. Just give it time.
That's a good promo. Just listen to it.
Give it time.
You'll figure it out.
Is this the promo right now?
Isn't it?
Okay, I think we got it.
Cinephobe.
Wherever you get podcasts.
Just like Jesus paired fishes with loaves of bread, our guest today, she pairs up Christian singles. She's somewhat of a pro matchmaker. It's Miss Karen Kitchens.
Hi.
Hi there, Karen.
Hi.
It's so nice to see you. And you are one of the busiest people around this building, I will tell you that.
Me? Busy? No, I'm just carrying all these binders. Oh my gosh, of course I'm busy. Hello.
I know. And are those binders full of women? Because I've always I thought that is, you know, one says women, one says men. So you've got us in kind of a small one for the guys. What's going on with those binders?
Well, I will tell you everything you could possibly want to know about all of our single friends, brothers and sisters, in this church.
Amazing. Oh. Just a dossier on every one of them.
I know. And I just want to say, I'm so glad to see that it's just men and it's just women. Because anything beyond that, you know what? I'm going to be honest. I don't like feeling wrong and dumb. So I just say, I don't follow any of that stuff.
As soon as someone tries to tell me any new information about the world, I hear white noise screaming.
See?
So I totally understand and relate to that.
Oh, you get it. And you know what? I'm not opposed to white noise. I'm a fan sleeper. Are you a silent sleeper or a fan sleeper?
No, I need to fall asleep to episodes of Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Oh, wow.
Just old, like just the first couple seasons, blaring.
Oh, just the good ones. That's so great. Yeah. Before they started opening it up to the ladies. Mm-hmm. I
yeah, that
it was funny
one good looking
guys.
Tall
yeah.
guy, he can do anything.
Oh, he's awesome.
That black guy is so funny.
He's so good at singing. And I'll tell you something. I would marry all of them.
Oh,
that,
my
right?
goodness.
And you would laugh constantly.
Yeah.
You'd laugh constantly.
You'd laugh constantly.
Now, you might have to get them saved. I don't know. Are they Christians?
They kind of give off that vibe, don't they?
They do dress like it. They dress so nice.
Oh, I know. Especially in the early years. I always like it. Anytime you see some khakis like that, you probably can assume they love Jesus.
Khakis 3 times too big and very shiny. I know you're close to God.
See? Well, I just wonder, are there enough episodes for you to really filter through them for your sleep hours, you know?
Yeah, I do a lot of repeats. I hear the same jokes over and over, but it's like listening to a song that you love. It's the rhythm of it. I'll tell you something else.
That is so great. So, Karen, I do want to ask, what is it about matchmaking that that really drew you in? And how did you know that that was your calling and that you were so good at it?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, as you know, I have set up over 40 couples
wow.
within the church.
Wow. Amazing.
40 of them got married. 35 didn't work out, but 5 of them are still together, which is, to me, success.
Success. I mean, those are 5 godly marriages.
And that is 40 over the course of how many years?
About 6 years.
Okay.
That's when I started. And then I haven't become the official matchmaker until about 7 months ago. But before that, I was just on the ground making it happen.
So you are on staff now.
I am. It is incredible. Well, I'm on staff, but there was an empty office and that's where I put my stuff down.
Okay.
Yeah, and I see you at the staff meetings.
Yeah,
yeah.
I like to show up. If I'm there, I'm there.
I mean, have they given you an email or anything like that? Or are you just still using your Gmail?
I use my Gmail, but I think over time, if I'm confident enough and I keep showing up
yeah.
and if I keep eating other people's birthday cake when it's their birthday,
uh-huh.
I'm going to be slowly folded in as a full-time staff member.
You'll get a Twin Hills account. That's so cool.
So walk us through what it looks like when you actually put two people together. How does that work?
So this all started when I was trying to find a match for myself.
Oh.
And I went, I don't want to go into this blind. I'm going to do some research,
right.
okay? And so I just started following, photographing, digging through the trash of all the men in our church. Because that's how you get to know someone. I don't want to know the front they're putting out. Because when I see them on a Sunday, everyone's their best selves. They smell good. They look nice. And I want to get down to what is real. And when I was doing that, I started to notice, wait, this guy might be pretty good for my friend. He's got such and such in his trash.
Yeah.
My friend also has the same, eats the same pizza rolls as him.
Ooh.
Maybe they could get together. And so that's sort of my process now for other people. Is people, sometimes they say yes. And sometimes I just have to take the initiative myself. I'll follow them around. I'll dig about their trash like a little raccoon, and I find what I need to find, and then I set them up together.
So digging,
that's
okay,
awesome.
So you're actually digging through the physical trash. I guess I thought that was like, you know, which is one of those sayings, like I kind of dug through his trash, but you're really going into the physical trash.
Mm-hmm. And now I wear gloves because the emergency room was like, Karen, no more coming in here with needles in your arms.
Oh.
I go in and I'd have tons of needles, things sticking out.
Oh,
I have
no.
had rashes that no one's ever heard of or seen before.
Oh, no.
So you start with the trash, and that's where you really get the sense of someone.
Mm-hmm. You learn what they're trying to hide, what they're trying to get rid of.
Amazing. And then from the trash, you're going, okay, this one would be good with this one would be good with that one. I love that.
Mm-hmm. And then it also gives me a little bit of gossip, which I'm not saying I use that as currency, but I am saying it helps bridge the gap between me and someone else.
I see.
Uh-huh, yeah. Like, I bet you find juicy stuff. I'm trying to think of the stuff I throw away.
Well, I'm not saying I've dug through both of your trashes,
oh, really?
But hypothetically, if I had, I would maybe be able to tell you a little something about what I found.
Well, we probably don't need to get into that. Anyway, so what I would love to know, Karen, is once you've kind of figured out, okay, let's say Bobby's good with Janie or, you know, Mikey's good.
No, they were not good together.
Oh, really?
Oh, I could see
Bobby
that.
And Janie were a disaster. I, like you, thought that they would be.
Yeah.
Peanut butter and jelly.
Right.
They hit each other's cars in the parking lot on purpose. Were you there that week?
I heard about that.
Oh, I
heard
about that.
This is Bobby Morgahan, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he's got anger issues, I think.
And, you know, peanut butter and jelly, you know, in Australia, we don't put those together. They're considered nasty.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, no, we would never put peanut butter with jelly. That's like putting, you know, mayonnaise with turkey or something.
You're not going to dip your Biggie Fry into your Frosty?
Oh, no, Hallie, we would never do that.
You got to mix your sweet and savories. It's kind of unexpected.
No,
it's
the
a
taste
little
profile
delight in your
is
mouth.
Really different in Australia. We just have a different way of doing things.
Huh.
Let me put this in terms that you'll understand. I thought they'd go together like Vegemite and kangaroos.
There we
oh.
go. Shane knows a little bit of something about where I'm from. So what you do is you put these folks together, and are you going like, like, how do you actually set them up? Are you just kind of going, hey, he likes you, she might like you? Are you doing it on the sly, or is it more that you're doing something more formal and official?
Well, I wish I could just say, hey, you two should get together, but people like a fun love story.
Totally.
So I'll set up an entire elaborate meet cute for them to come together.
I love that. Just like a movie.
Yeah, a meet cute.
Mm-hmm. So like I'll have it so like I'll cut one of their brakes, right? Or I'll take the air out of one of their tires.
Oh.
And then I'll wait. I'll like look up the weather and I go, it's raining that day. Okay. And then so one of them will be like, my car's not starting. I just tried to leave the parking lot and I ran right into a pole. Could you give me a ride somewhere?
Wow.
That is cute. I mean, cutting the brakes, that is cute.
You work tirelessly in this effort. This is exciting.
And do they ever go like, hey, who is this lady kind of scurrying around doing all these things? Or do you really keep yourself hidden?
I have been reported multiple times. And once I explain myself, people seem to be okay with it. But yeah, I do. I dress like a little raccoon again, just like I wear a little mask on my face. I dig about, I cut the brakes. And so a lot of times I get in trouble. But once I tell them that it's for love, then they don't seem to be as upset.
It is so fun because every time you say something that I think is just you saying, you know, kind of comparing yourself, like I'm like a raccoon digging through the trash. I don't realize that you're literally dressing up like a raccoon and digging through the trash. You know, I always kind of think that's just a turn of phrase. So that is interesting.
I love raccoons. I think they're cute.
They're so cute. And what, you're going to call the church? You're going to call the police and say, there's a lady from my church digging through my trash? No, you'll call animal control. That's what they call. They go, there's a big ass raccoon in my backyard. And it's me. I'm the raccoon.
And all you have to say is, I'm on a ministry mission for the church right now, you know? And you can say anything. You can be like, I'm trying to get some topics for, you know, like real relevant, you know, teaching tools on a weekend service. You can say anything. You know what I mean? I mean, we don't even have to pay taxes just because the church can, we can say anything. You know what I mean?
Really can, you know, we call it the mission umbrella. And really, whatever you put under the umbrella really can be a write-off or, you know, just justified.
Now, I was going to ask you, because you're talking about digging through the trash, and I was wondering if a modern day version of that is checking out people's social medias, because I was in the food.
They're what?
People's social medias.
Oh, the internet. Yeah, you're like the second or third person who told me I should check that out.
Because yeah, isn't most dating done now on the internet? Match.com and things like that.
For sure. And the whole next generation. I was in the food court with my girls the other day. One of my daughters works at Lids at the mall, if you ever need a good ball cap. But I was picking her up from work and I says, let's get some nuggets at Chick-fil-A in the food court. We're sitting there and some of my girlfriend, it was my two daughters, some girls walked up and they were introducing themselves and everything. As soon as the girls walked away, both my daughters got on their phones and just start going over the girls' social medias, just looking them up, like, what are they doing on TikTok? What are they doing on that? And I said, well, if somebody was looking on my social medias to see, you know, what's in my trash, I don't think they would get a good idea of who I am. You know, I'm not posting, you know, stuff, but I guess now this is how the new generation digs on each other. They check out each other's stuff online.
Well, I'm going to have to go to the library and use the computer.
Oh, yeah, you can for free.
Have you not used the internet before?
Well, I have an email. And that's, I thought that was it.
Oh, there's quite a bit more now.
Yeah, and maybe that could be like your bow and arrow if you're Cupid, you know? The internet could be your bow and arrow that you really like poke people with when you're getting them to fall in love with each other.
And I mean, I guess I have to ask, you said that the whole reason you got into matchmaking is because you were looking for a match yourself. Mm. Tell us a little bit of something about Mr. Right.
Well, I would love to meet him.
Oh,
and
it didn't happen yet.
I'm keeping an eye out.
Yeah.
And that's for sure.
Yeah, you are.
I feel a little self-conscious now with my big old binders. I'm feeling a little like a dinosaur over here.
Is there anyone in that man binder that ever, you know, caught your eye? Turned your little pupils into heart shapes?
Well, there were a few, but then they'd go, I recognize you from my camera, my garage camera. Have you been digging through my trash? And that sort of cuts it off at the legs. But yeah. How about you look through these binders and then you let me know if you think
somebody would look cute with you.
Okay.
Because you're a really beautiful lady.
Oh, God.
Yeah, you really are.
No, I'm tired.
Well, you don't look it. And I feel like that's really all guys care about. You know, it doesn't really matter your personality, your visions, your dreams, the way you express yourself, how you walk around in the world. To them, it really is just like that that shell that you're in. They're really attracted to your shell.
I know, totally. You look good for your age. What are you? You're probably 60, but you don't look more than 55.
Well, I'm 42.
Oh, no.
But
that is still young. That is still young. 42 is, you don't have one foot in the grave, one foot on a banana peel quite yet.
Is it, Hallie? I don't know. 40, I think after 40, we wouldn't call it young, but I think we would still say this possibility.
I know. Well, you're supposed to just say, you know, Kylie Minogue, you know, like that.
Oh, yeah. Well,
and then everyone goes, oh, yeah, that's 41.
Well, think about Shadowlands. You know, C.S. Lewis was a very old man when he found that young and beautiful lady. So, you know, maybe you could do sort of like a reverse C.S. Lewis.
Yeah, Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe.
And the Raccoon.
And maybe, Karen, you just need to set your sights on some older fellas, and then that way you'll be the young sprite one, you know?
Well, I've tried. I also am the matchmaker for our elderly community, and they don't seem too interested in me.
Oh, no.
But that's okay. They're sort of like, similar to you, they go, you must be 60. And when I tell them I'm 42, then they go, what are you going to look like at 60? My God.
Yeah, the problem with old people is they just say what they mean.
I know,
it's not
I hate
nice.
That about them.
Yeah.
You know, something that I would love to, you know, maybe we could flip through a binder here because I'm looking, wow, there are a lot of, you know, young, really attractive guys here in the first few pages. And then I guess I'm looking here and it looks like, well, this is all one guy named Scott T. Sullivan.
Oh, he's cute.
And I'm just kind of wondering, is that... It just kind of seems like there's a lot of pages on Scott T. Sullivan. I'm not even...
Let me see that.
Weird. I might have just brought his binder by accident.
Oh, yeah.
I guess sometimes I will dig down really far into someone.
Okay.
Because I go, like, I want to have a real understanding. And I just went, you have so much potential. Let me follow you around for a bit.
Yeah, because it seems... Because there's kind of a timestamp here with where he goes and when he goes there. Seems like, yeah, he works at Norelco. He leaves his house at 6:58
every morning.
He goes to the
early
gym.
Early riser.
Yeah.
Oh, and these are some photographs taken from... Looks like they're kind of taken from behind a trash can.
Candids.
Yeah. You can see my little raccoon.
Yeah, these are...
Arm.
So...
You know what? These are... He looks like Ryan Stiles, okay?
He really does. Kind of Ryan Stiles, but...
Which is, now I'm thinking right now, happens to be my big TV crush. So that's sort of a weird coincidence.
I know, he's kind of like short, chubby Ryan Stiles.
Yeah, you can see that. And I got to hand it to you, Karen. I like that you're going and printing pictures. Who does that anymore? How are you printing up all these pictures? You going down to Walgreens?
I'm going down to Walgreens. It takes upwards of 7 weeks. It's $100 per roll.
Oh,
it's not like it was in the early 2000s when you could walk into a one-hour photo.
Yeah.
It is tedious.
Yeah.
But worth it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now that I'm thinking, you guys, this is so weird. This is such a random coincidence. You guys kind of know Scott.
Yeah, Scott. Yeah, Scott is actually part of a group that one of the small groups that I sometimes dip in and out of, which is great. It's kind of like a bunch of young, cool, single guys. He seems great. Definitely looks. When I see him, I'm like, that's a short, chubby Ryan Stiles. And I've said that to his face, and he says I get that all the time. And he said, which is kind of surprising because he is Pacific Islander, so he doesn't even really, look like Ryan Stiles. But he says a lot of people say that. Must be his energy.
But he moves like Ryan
he
Stiles.
He does. He really does.
And anytime he speaks or moves.
Anytime he speaks or moves, you're just like, that's Ryan Stiles. And then he stops and he's still, and you're like, well, this is kind of a Samoan guy that is clearly kind of his own thing.
But, he's so sexy. It's just so sexy. For someone else, of course, whoever match I find for him. Is he single?
Oh, totally. Yeah, he is single. And
he's a Christ follower?
Oh, totally, Hallie. He's a great guy, great looking guy. I mean, he's a guy that has a look, is what I would say. I mean, have you ever just approached him and said, maybe, because here's what I don't like is ladies who are asking guys out on dates, but I love it when ladies present themselves as available, because I think as Christians, when you're a lady and you're going, hey, I want a date, please, 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 it just feels a bit loose.
Mm.
But what I think we've been taught and what we learn is that, a lady that is available will make herself known in a really classy way. And I think maybe if you did that, maybe there is some, maybe energy with Scott, if you pray about it.
Yeah, I absolutely would not emasculate him by telling the truth. I would not be caught dead doing that to a man. And I'm not saying I'm interested in him.
Oh, okay.
But if I, as a professional, if I were to set him up with someone, I'd maybe set him up with a lady who has striped gray and black hair,
okay,
who's sort of the same height as me.
Okay.
Who's maybe like 42, but looks about 60.
Okay. So you are kind of describing yourself there. I'm just going to echo back to you that you are kind of naming these things that are really similar to you, actually.
Oh, yeah. I guess I do think he would look good with someone who has kind of raccoonish hair. That is weird.
Yeah.
I mean,
as a matchmaking expert, what is it that gets in the way of love? Or conversely, or whatever that word means, or transversely, or whatnot, what assists people in falling in love? Like, what are the tricks, like in Roxanne or Cyrano de Bergerac, when you're whispering in a girl's, because a girl will go for anybody. She'll take any old uggo. I mean, it doesn't matter if he is unattractive, even disgusting, if he's a nerd or if he's a turd. A girl is going to be like, you know what? I can see the beautiful side of him inside. And, girls will give a lot of, it's a wide blanket of grace, whereas a girl, it just has to be attractive. That's just it. That's all you can do.
The advice I give to girls is I go, do not sneeze.
Okay.
Do not burp.
Uh-huh.
Do not fart.
Solid.
One gross moment.
Uh-huh.
Can send him packing his bags out the door.
Yeah.
The moment you are human at him, mm-hmm, in front of him, yeah, near him.
Mm-hmm.
As I don't know if you remember Grace. Grace and Charlie were engaged. They were dating.
Yeah, of course.
He could hear her fart one time from the other room,
oh,
and
no,
he moved out of the country.
I hate that.
Yeah. You don't want your fella to think he's in a sorority. You know what I mean? You want him to think he's with Katharine Hepburn,
uh-huh,
or Scarlett Johansson.
Right, Katharine Hepburn. That's a perfect example. One of those ladies that you're like, she belongs with a man.
Also, she looks like that's not a body that's going to produce gas, you know, like, like it's just a little valve, like it's just a little gas valve.
You're going to make Greg stand up and walk right out the room.
Well, and leave the country.
Well, I can't leave the country right now. Because
okay, so one thing getting in the way of love is females having a physical body. Mm-hmm. Got it. Mm-hmm. Any other barriers to love?
Well, obviously, men need to put God first then their wife. That's God, their boys, and then their wife, because that's what makes them happy.
Yeah.
Because straight men, the only thing they love more than their wife is their boys.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They got to continue to prioritize going to get drinks with their boys, bowling with their boys, hanging out with their boys.
It's totally true.
Mm-hmm. It makes for a very happy marriage that feels very, very balanced. And this is the advice I gave all 40 couples I set up. Again, 5 of them still together.
Success.
So great. So it really seems like, and this is not a critique as much as an observation, but it just seems like a lot of your focus, at least when I look it through these binders, it seems like you've got Scott T. Sullivan, you've got a few guys, and you've got Scott T. Sullivan. And then I'm looking through these lady binders and binders full of women, and you've got a few ladies up front here, and then a lot of stuff kind of about yourself. I don't know if this is what I would consider a biography or a memoir or just something like that, but kind of just seems like the lion's share of the work here is about Scott and you. And I don't know if you've even thought about this, but maybe you guys could even be a match one day.
Well, that's crazy. I would call it a historical fiction memoir autobiography. Is that would be my technical term for the second half of this book.
Okay, a lot of words.
Just like to insert myself into that. Anyways, I think here's the thing. I've dug through my own trash.
Ooh,
okay.
Yeah.
I've raccooned in my backyard, and I go, what if Scott doesn't like what he sees? What if he doesn't like my trash can full of secrets?
Right. If you're digging through
baggage.
Your own backyard in a raccoon suit, and it's probably a great question to ask. What if Scott sees this?
And what if he doesn't like what he sees? And then I have to see him every day, and then I have to set him up with someone else eventually. I just say, let me just lust over Ryan Stiles in peace, and I won't have to get hurt.
Well, it's a really vulnerable thing to put yourself out there. And I hear fellas say this all the time, is it's so scary to ask a girl out on a date because the rejection would just be crushing. And, you know, we've raised all of these boys in our culture to believe that they have an inevitable place in the hierarchy and women are just lucky to be here and not murdered. And, you know, so these guys, they think, well, you know, everything belongs to me. I have a right to everything. And then a girl goes, I don't think so. I have a boyfriend right now or whatever. And then, you know, the next thing you know, he's writing a manifesto and, you know, he's going to be the new Unabomber because he got rejected. I mean, what is a woman's responsibility to take care of all of the feelings and experiences that the men in her life are having around her?
Yeah, I'd say the secret to that, because it definitely falls on the woman. It's her responsibility, especially here in the church. When I hear about that not like happening outside of the church, relationships that are like a 50-50 balance, again, the white noise goes off in my head because I'm like, yikes.
Uh-huh.
So I just say, stay numb, ladies.
Yes.
Stay numb.
Oh,
all
that
right?
Sounds exquisite.
And yes, it'll make you look 20 years older than you actually are.
Oh, is that right?
Yes. I have been taking care of men my whole life, and that is why I look like I am 62 at 42.
Oh, that makes sense. That checks out. It checks out. And men really do just need to replace a mother with a wife. Isn't that right? Somebody to clean up after them and make sure there's stuff in the fridge and explain to them, you know, like how a fitted sheet works and stuff. Although they probably don't need to know that. But
no.
I wanted to ask you, Karen, why is it that the God of the universe is so obsessed with our marriage certificates and about us like really settling down in these monogamous, God-honoring, committed marriage relationships?
Well, like everything that God does, marriage is a test.
Oh.
It's like putting frogs in water and boiling them.
Okay.
Interesting. I mean, they say statistically, a female who's married to a man has a shorter life expectancy, where transversely, a man who's married to a woman, his life expectancy expands. And it makes me wonder if these gals who get together, like Glennon Doyle and Abby Wambsgans,
Instagram 4 times a day just to check.
Are we allowed to do that? I've always wanted to know. Am I allowed to look at Glennon Doyle's Instagram?
No.
Okay. I figured.
And it's just to judge, not to live with a jealousy of 1,000 suns.
Got it. I got
That's
it.
What it, that, if you look at it, you go, blech,
yeah.
A terrible life
yeah.
with a loving family that seems to have finally figured it out. They're living untamed. They're living authentically.
Right.
Blech.
Right. And well, and I wonder, hey, gals, because you cut the man out of your marriage and you might both now live 20 years longer and look 20 years younger, like, do you really want that? Like, I want to get to heaven as soon as I can.
Exactly. And I want to just be with a man who says, I'll babysit our kids tonight. You're welcome.
Oh,
that's what
awesome.
Will make me feel like an authentic woman.
Right. And, you know, you better hurry up because, you know, I'm not sure if kids are going to be in the playbook yet or you know what I mean.
So you've talked to my OBGYN? She told you it was dust? Who? She told you it was dust. She told me that she wouldn't tell anyone.
Is your uterus disintegrating already?
It's dust. She looked inside me and she said it's full dust.
Oh, I mean, I was just kind of guessing because of the age things. Hey, you know what? What I would say, Karen, and I'm happy to do this, and I don't really put myself out there like this a lot for people because I just kind of like to stay out of it when it comes to dating stuff. I'm pretty busy. But what I would say is, you know, the next time I see Scott T. Sullivan, I'm totally down to, you know, bring...
Oh, my God! You will! You'll do that for me!
Okay. Okay. Well,
oh my God!
Oh my goodness! This is so exciting.
Oh my God! Oh my God! Oh my God!
Did I even finish what I was saying?
Yeah. You're gonna be her wingman, Gray.
Okay. I guess what I was saying is, you know, I'm totally happy to just bring up the idea that, you know, maybe he should start dating. I wasn't gonna say your name specifically, but I mean, I could if
you. Oh my God! Oh my God! Oh my God!
It's really.
Oh my God!
It's so.
Oh my God!
It's
so.
Okay. It's a studio, Gray. I mean, Karen, I think you might be in love.
Me?
Yes.
No.
I see it in your eyes. You have little red hearts where your black pupils should be.
I'm not in love. You wouldn't know love if it hit you between the eyes. I'm not in love.
You could Pepe Le Pew, Scott. Just constantly throw yourself at him and be in his eye line.
Oh, you know, we had that in Australia, but he was called Juju the Polecat Pussy.
Oh, that's so cool. And it was where a skunk who is a totally different species is trying to bed down with a cat?
In Australia, he was actually trying to do it with a wallaby.
Oh, is that right? What's a wallaby?
Oh, it's basically a cat.
Oh, that's so cool. Wow. Speaking of Kylie Minogue, she's Australian.
I know. Hallie, we don't talk about her because she's basically the worst kind of Christian, which is someone who's not a Christian.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. How's my Australian accent? Laserdisc. Oh. Specializing. Gumtree. How am I doing?
That's good.
Sorry, I've been watching so much Whose Line Is It Anyway? They really love to do the accents.
Oh, that is? You know, that is really good. It's good in what I would consider like kind of a, you know, cheap comedy way. And I you know, I'm kind of doing it. But, you know, I do think it's funny to, you know, make fun of the accent. But, you know, if Ryan Stiles did it, I probably would laugh, I guess is what I'm saying. But it's still a bit
cheap.
Have
you tried doing an American accent before?
Oh, yeah, I can do an American accent. From where?
Oh, anywhere. Whatever's easiest.
Ooh. I mean, I can do like Boston, like, hey guys, I'm from Boston, let's go to a game. And I could do like from Florida, like, oh, Orlando, let's go to the Mickey Mouse. Or like California, like, hey dudes, let's go out and surf on the waves and stuff like that. So, yeah, I mean, Americans are pretty much, it's probably one of the easiest. Like, you know.
Dang, I was going to make a joke about you doing cheap comedy, but those were incredible.
Oh, I know. Yeah. You know, Arkansas, don't let them go to school and all that stuff. So mm-hmm. I just think, you know, it's pretty easy.
I try to do it. I think all you have to do to be Australian is turn your O's into O's and just say please and go up at the end of everything. Like you would say, I need Scott in my life, please. And
I feel like I'm there.
Yeah. And instead of saying no, you say noi, like that. It's real easy.
I don't know, Hallie. Well, it's been so fun to connect with you, Karen, and I really hope that, you know, it works out with all the matches that you're making here at the church and you know, maybe even Scott.
Thank you so much for having me. Well, it is starting to rain outside, so you know what that means.
No.
Someone's about to get into a little car accident outside. Might need a ride home.
Did you cut some brakes?
I did. I did a little snip, a little haircut on those.
Any idea? Okay, can you give us a hint as to who?
Let's just say who moves like Ryan Stiles but looks nothing like him.
Karen Kitchens was played by Erin Keefe. Check out her fantastic podcast, Hey Riddle Riddle, and follow her at ErinKeefe10. I'm Holly Laurent, playing Hallie Labonte, and Gray Haas was played by Greg Hess. Follow us and Mega the Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. And if you really want to get out of hell free card, support us on Patreon. The link is in the show notes.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. To serve others in ways that promote human flourishing and create a ripple effect of transformation for generations to come. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.